south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, every time you run into or sit down with a gringo or expat down here, you're gonna hear some complaints about Latin America, you know, mostly the inefficiencies, lack of detail, stuff like that. But the longer you're down here, the less you complain because you just start to accept it. And you realize it's part of your gringo advantage because that's why gringos do so well when they start businesses down here. We take those Latin inadequacies, inefficiencies, and lack of details. We use them or the lack of them to our advantage, and it makes all the difference in the world when we do our startups. And the funny thing is, Latin Americans know that gringos take care of the details. They admit it. And even for the ones of us who are slackers, Latins give us the benefit of the doubt. In fact, it never ceases to amaze me every time I go into an office, a lawyer, an accountant, a banking office, and I'm sitting down with someone. I'm talking about average common offices and executive offices, too. Or even in the cafeteria around the coffee pot at the business, you'll see people sitting around at lunch and break time. And if they're not in their company uniforms, they'll have casual clothing, a lot of it with cutesy English language letters and sayings. Now, the people wearing that stuff don't know what the letters mean. They don't speak English. Yes, it's true. Any item of clothing with an English language saying on it is all the rage down here. But that's not all. The same people you'll see drinking from their individual coffee mugs with, get this, gringo, cutesy, Hallmark, coffee cup humor sayings that they don't get either because they're in English too. Now, the average new or fresh gringo expat walking through an office like that is not going to notice. But long-term expats will get the irony. Yes, in Latin cafeterias and offices everywhere where people don't speak 20 words of English, you'll see the same kitschy, pathetic, time-worn Hallmark coffee mug sayings that were so ubiquitous and mundane back in the States in the 80s and 90s. You'd have thought they'd all been broken by now or ended up in the big dumpster in the sky. No such luck. Well, it looks like tens of thousands of them anyway got recycled through Goodwill, Salvation Army, or St. Vincent de Paul, and now they're showing up all over the place in Latin America. So, like it or not, you're going to get hit by an oldie moldy wave of bad nostalgia. Get ready once again for those coffee cups that say, "World's greatest dad, I hate Mondays, I love cats, clock watcher," and the single most depressing one of all, "Have a nice day." So when you see that tired relic and you know you're not going to have a nice anything, it suddenly gets worse. You start seeing coffee mugs with Disney logos and characters on them. So now you know what to bring down for the cleaning lady next time you go up to the States, right? In fact, right before Christmas, I was at an electrical supply shop and I complimented the secretary on her coffee cup. It said, "It is what it is." And the other secretary had a cup that said, "I love New York," you know, with the heart on it. Clever, huh? And there was another one sitting there that said, "I love," with a heart, "my jammy." God, what brain trust thinks these things up? Then I saw the ubiquitous Mickey Mouse cup, and I was just about to bite my lip when I noticed on the back it said, "Shit happens." Wonder how that one slipped through Goodwill. Then, just for laughs, I asked the lady who had the cup that said, "It is what it is." Of course, I was nicely testing her. I said, "Nice coffee cup. What's it mean?" And she shrugged and gave me a kind of an embarrassed look. So I didn't pursue it any farther, but you get what I mean. Why hasn't some gringo, because that's what it would probably take, you know, ship some cups down and translate the sayings, all those kitschy, campy, crappy, coffee cup, stupid humor sayings that we're all so sick of looking at, translate them into Spanish. Man, you could make a mint down here. I think the lag time is perfect right now. They'll finally understand some of these old sayings. You won't have to invent anything, though you probably can't literally translate a lot of them that are supposed to be kind of clever, like "it is what it is," or "life is a four-letter word." That just won't translate. They won't get it. Now, here's something that cracked me up. I saw a Latin cop with a coffee mug at the driver's testing station. It said so very appropriately, "When pigs fly." I mean, come on, was there ever a more perfect coffee mug saying than that? I wish I'd have had my camera. Anyway, you get what I mean. Why hasn't someone translated all these bad mug sayings into Spanish? You can make a mint. So there you have it with a business idea again. You don't reinvent the wheel. You just spin it a little faster and you polish it a bit. But speaking of typical frustrating Latin inefficiencies that most new expats and green gringos seem to complain about all the time, here's a little example that doesn't seem like much, but when you accumulate 5 or 10 of such events in a given day, it gets to be kind of frustrating. Now, like everywhere in the world, they have drive-in banks all over the place here in Latin America. And when you drive up, you're going to either deposit something, right? Or you're going to withdraw money, or you're going to pay a bill. So naturally, when you drive up, first you go past a little stand that's got the deposit and withdrawal slips. Then, a foot or two ahead, there's the pneumatic box with the tube to send to do your transactions. Only, in Latin America, that little stand that's got the deposit and withdrawal slips and stuff, it's empty. Many drive-in banks have done away with that little stand altogether. That means when you pull up, you have to press the call button, ask the teller for a deposit or withdrawal slip. That would be a deposito or retiro slip. And send the canister on down. Wait about 5 minutes or so for them to process that brain-straining request. You'll get it back. You'll start filling it out, whatever, and you'll make a mistake, and you'll have to have another deposit slip because they'll never send you two. They'll just send you one of each. I'm not kidding. So by now, you're there maybe 15 minutes because nothing happens fast in Latin America. Not to mention, there are other cars in different lines being served at the same time in the drive-up autobanco. That's what they call them, autobancos. So all in all, by the time you've made a simple deposit or withdrawal, you might be playing tube tennis with the teller 5 or 6 times. So anyway, I figure you're much better off just parking your car and walking into the bank to do your business because it turns out most times it's faster than the autobanco. I know, it doesn't make sense, but this is Latin America. Oh, and by the way, over the years I've been with gringos who've been very pissed off at customer service in Latin America and they explode. In fact, I've been with 2 different gringos 2 different times who blew up at the auto bank and insulted the teller. Yeah, I admit I'm guilty of that, but it was a long time ago for me. So then, how do you stay calm when stupidity prevails? And mark my words, it will prevail 100% of the time if you're standing in line at a government office. Well, I do what Expat Eddie says. He says when you're about to blow up about some customer service issue, just remember, you're driving a car and whoever you feel like blowing up at is more than likely riding home in a chicken bus, so don't make his or her life any tougher. Good advice. It works for me. That means even if you walk into a brand new first world style building that's outfitted with all the latest and greatest first world technology, you're still likely to face disorganization, chaos, mañana time, and bad customer service. In fact, just yesterday, I encountered exactly that kind of thing. I was at the new Guatemalan International Airport, meeting some of my Latin seminar attendees because the seminar starts this week. I was driving alone and I pulled up to the new underground airport parking lot. It's brand new and fully automated, so you press the button, get the ticket, and the gate lifts automatically and you drive in. Then, when you're ready to leave, you go to a little machine, you shove the ticket in, plus your money, you get your change or whatever, and you get a stamped ticket. And on your way out, you stick that validated ticket into the machine, the gate lifts, and you drive out. Just like any old first world parking lot. Except, this is a Latin American airport parking garage. So, when you pull up to the parking lot entrance gate, and there's a little box, and you press a button to get that ticket, there's a uniformed airport guard standing there, and as your car pulls up, he presses that button for you. The ticket comes out, he pulls it out and hands it to you. And he gives you a little buenos dias and a smile, because, you know, everyone's happy down here. Hard to believe, I know, since his job is such a brain teaser. But the question is, why do they need a guy standing at an automated machine like that? The machine is supposed to eliminate manpower, right? Anyway, I met a couple of people, went back into the parking lot, walked over to another automated machine to pay my money and get my ticket validated. Guess what? There's another uniformed airport guard standing right at that machine, and when you walk up to it, he takes your ticket, puts it in, tells you how much money to put in, even though it's flashing right there on the screen. Then the ticket pops out. He grabs your ticket and your change and hands it back to you, and you're on your way. Again, nothing too unusual about that, I guess, except for the fact that automated machine is supposed to do away with manpower. So, naturally, on my way out of the parking lot, I have to stick my validated ticket in another automated machine so the gate will lift and let me out. Yep, you guessed it. There was another uniformed airport guard standing right next to that machine. He took my ticket, stuck it in the slot, the gate opened, he gave me a wave and a smile and a buen dia. So, are you beginning to get the idea that in Latin America, there's no such thing as efficiency? So I'm thinking in this case, why even have that kind of automation? Just let these three poor guys do the work, take the tickets, and get their salary. Welcome to Latin America. Now remember, this is the second largest airport in all of Central America. That's why I was told by a well-dressed Latin businessman the government spent all that money to automate the place first world style, to impress international travelers and prove once and for all that Guatemala is a modern country and not a banana republic. Note, he said, as he pointed to the airfield, the obvious lack of monkeys, snakes, and toucans running across the tarmac. Anyway, we're talking about the second largest airport in Central America. Even so, you won't believe the cost of parking in this new lot. When I saw the sign, I couldn't believe it myself. First 15 minutes free, then it said, from 15 minutes to 15 hours, $2.50. Now, that's what it costs to park per hour at O'Hare Field in Chicago or LAX in Los Angeles. And even then, you're not close to the terminal. You have to take a 10 or 15 minute shuttle to get there. Whereas at the Guatemala airport, it takes about 2 minutes to walk from the parking lot to the terminal. So again, we're talking third world Latin prices. That's $2.50 for up to 15 hours of short-term parking. So are they operating at a loss because they got all that manpower and all that technology? I doubt it, because they pay those uniformed airport guards around $300 a month. And in the States, a uniformed guard at an airport, probably around $2,000 a month minimum, plus benefits. So what about worker benefits here in Latin America? Sure, they've all got the national health care system, but if you do get sick and have to go to the hospital, you might as well bring your own gloves, syringes, and paper towels. Then cross your fingers and pray a lot if you believe in those things. And yes, there is a mandatory social security system, too, in every Latin country. In fact, people working on the books have a sort of a FICA percentage withdrawn from their check every month, too. Generally, it's around 2%. And the retirement payout in countries like Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Ecuador, Bolivia, Paraguay, and such, is around $100 a month. So that's what poor Latin folks on the books have to look forward to in their golden years. Remember I said on the books. About 40% of Latin American workers are in the informal economy, so that means they're off the books and don't pay in, so they can't look forward to that windfall $100 a month retirement pay. And by the way, I'm a big believer in looking at bulletin boards all throughout Latin America. There are fantastic deals to be found, and you see a lot of cool and funny information. In fact, the other day, I held my nose and purposely walked into one of those big national healthcare hospitals, this time in Guatemala, because I'm doing my seminar in the next few weeks here. I wanted to get a couple of current boots-on-the-ground photos to prove just how decrepit and crappy these third-world national health hospitals are. And certainly, I saw at least 500 stressed-out, hurting patients and probably another 100 nurses, doctors, and government slugs. And when I walked in, everybody kind of looked at me. Hey, visiting gringo. Do-gooder, first-world doctor with freebie bottles of Ritalin and vaccinations, maybe. Well, no such luck. But having that gringo advantage super strong where there's no gringos at all, they treated me like a visiting dignitary. Yes, there's nothing that opens doors faster than a person who's a foot taller than everyone else. In fact, I kind of rolled out the red carpet, and a nurse escorted me through the whole place, asked me what I wanted to see. I told her I was a corresponsal, which means a foreign correspondent, which opened the doors even wider for me because she thought she was going to be on TV or something. And it didn't matter to her that the whole place smelled like vomit, urine, and impending death, and that windows were broken and the whole wing of the hospital had no water. She still gave me that guided tour with a smile. So we weaved through the sad-looking patients who were leaning against walls and lined up in cots in the hallways. And that was the hospital waiting room for patients who hadn't been admitted yet. Then I asked her if we could see the doctor's lounge. And in that lounge, they had the usual bulletin board, you know, with cars and motorcycles and appliances and houses and rooms for rent. After all, this was the bulletin board for doctors, not the patients or the rest of the staff. But when I caught this one particular posting, I had to take a photo. And here's what it says, and I'll translate. Now, remember, this is a teaching hospital, too, and it's affiliated with a public medical school, so the students come through and do their rotations, etc. It says, attention all medical students. Please be advised that there are no gloves, paper products, or disposables available, so you should try to bring your own, please. Thank you for your cooperation, the medical staff. And yes, I got a real nice photo of that. It's just too bad it's in Spanish. So anyway, about 90% of the average Latin public never sees the inside of a private hospital, the ones that gringos go to, you know, the ones that are so first world you can't tell them apart from your own private hospital in Cucamonga, Sarasota, or Cleveland. However, there is one big difference with first world private hospitals here in Latin America. There are always many, many more staff members than patients in the hospital. In fact, the last time I took a seminar group to a First World Latin Hospital, we were all outnumbered about 5-1 by staff. So, the 90% of Latin Americans that can't afford private hospitals, they go to the public free national health hospitals and get what you might call medieval medical care without the leeches. Though I might be wrong, there could be leeches somewhere. So anyway, I got a nice photo from the bulletin board in the doctor's lounge, and you can see it on my YouTube channel. I've got one now, remember, just go to The Expat Files or Expat Files on YouTube and you'll see the slide presentation that goes along with each Expat Files audio show. And when you're there, don't forget to subscribe, it's free. Now, since we're talking about hospitals and doctors, let's take an email from a doctor. This from Dr. H. He says, hi Johnny, we love your show, it gives us so many tips and we love both your humor and your iconoclastic take on old vomit land, etc. Your theme song with Dean Martin singing about Mexico is always great to hear, but you never give Mexico its due credit. We always get the feeling somewhere south of the border means Guatemala, Costa Rica, etc. You rant about how Costa Rica and Ecuador are no longer good spots for expats, but you don't give Mexico a fair chance. We live in Puebla, just 100 kilometers east of Mexico City. We're definitely off the tourist trail, but occasionally we stumble into it. For example, we had New Year's at San Miguel de Allende with 12,000 gringos. And of course, Oaxaca is gringos are us. Not sure if you know this, but Mexico is now considered the second best expat haven in the world, according to www.internations.org. Mexico tops the charts in the ease of settling in department index due to the easygoing culture and friendly populace. It sure is easy to get used to the local culture. What's not to like about the kissy, kissy locals? Mexico also ranks second in the friendliness index. It's easy to make local friends. Expats are happy with their life in Mexico, which ranks third in the personal happiness subcategory after Ecuador and Costa Rica. Of course, you have to take the good and the bad with the ugly, as you say. It has low scores in transport and health, safety and well-being. But you can overcome all that on a Social Security check. Many gringos have made Mexico their permanent home, you know. It's a good place to hang your sombrero. Another good thing is that you can drive from the States to see your family from here. We drove from Puebla to Dallas in 18 hours. Crossing the borders now is a breeze if you have the FM3 residency permit. So, despite what Trump says, we love Mexicans here and back home. They seem to be hardworking, clean, religious, upbeat, and very colorful people. And speaking of Trump, when are you going to talk about his racist rants? You diss Obama about every show, but you don't say anything about Donaldism. Well, that should give you some grist for the mill. I hope we can attend your seminar next year. Kind regards, Dr. H. Okay, Doc, let's take some of this point by point. First of all, I haven't dissed O'Vomit once this show. Just to set the record straight, I never once called him a rotten, lying, thieving, sociopathic scumbag. In fact, these days, he's my second favorite person in the whole world. You know who my first favorite is? Everyone else. And about that top 10 expat retirement list you're talking about, every year International Living, AARP, and a lot of retirement rags come out with their lists. For the past few years, the top 5 spots have been held by the same countries. Panama, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Mexico, and now Colombia, at least the big cities in Colombia. Now, in fact, I've met a couple of writers here and there from some of these rags like International Living and others. Yet, I've never met a single one who's actually lived off the gringo tourist trail for any length of time. Oh yeah, they've been off the gringo tourist trail. They've passed through and hung out, and some have even stayed a few months. But actually living for an extended period of time off the gringo tourist trail? I'm at least 20 years off the tourist trail myself, and I know expats 30, 35, even 40 years exclusively off the gringo tourist trail. And you know what? A lot of people think they're living off the Gringo tourist trail, or say they are, but how could you be off the tourist trail and blending with the locals if you don't speak Spanish pretty well? And that's what I find. People write these articles whose Spanish is maybe a 5 or a 6, and you have to be a 8 or a 9 to understand the locals, their culture, their customs, their dialect, and their acceptance of you in the community. I realize it took me 5 years off the Gringo tourist trail before I could understand what people were saying in the elevator when I'm standing right next to them. Now, you might think I'm straying from the point a little bit here, but the thing is, when you read International Living or any of these big reports, I saw one on Yahoo News the other day, the top 10 best gringo expat destinations for retirement again, and same countries popped up. Good for them. And of course, like I and so many long-term expats have always said, as soon as the gringos start coming in, the prices go up immediately. That's when wannabes, gonna-bes, and would-be expats say, just a minute there, Johnny. I want to be where the gringos are, or at least where there's a pretty good-sized community of gringos, because then I'll have all the amenities. Good roads, good water. I'll have first-world technology, IT, healthcare, internet, first-world shopping, Starbucks, Walmart, Costco, Sears, Office Depot, Radio Shack. Then I say, just why not stay in Cleveland? Now, what most people don't know is that no matter how far off the Gringo tourist trail, you can get pretty much everything you want and need. Always much cheaper than when you're on the tourist trail, too. Let's get down to cases. That report I just saw on Yahoo News saying that Panama was the number one Gringo expat destination for retirement, and it touted the fact that you could easily live on a $1,500 a month Social Security check and such. Well, I'm here to tell you that isn't quite right. I don't care what AARP or Yahoo News or International Living says, you're not going to live a first world life on a $1,500 a month Social Security check in Panama. For one thing, you'll need whole house air conditioning all the time, and that's going to cost you, unless you don't mind your clothes being permanently humid and having that thin coat of sweat on you 24/7. And if you don't air condition your whole house, your shoes and your clothes and your furniture are going to get seasonally moldy, and that's pretty nasty. And though most things in Latin America are very, very cheap, electricity's not one of them, and that's what it takes for air conditioning. And for your pool, by the way, you're going to need that too. Because, you know, Panama is mostly at low sea levels, very hot and humid. And by the way, electric rates are 3 to 4 times as much as your rates up in the States. And about that pool, it's a high-maintenance item. I had one on the coast once myself, and it was costing me $100 a month 25 years ago. Remember, there's the pump, the maintenance, the chemicals, etc. Now, of course, if you live in the Altiplano, like Dr. H does, he's around 7,000 feet at Puebla, he does not need a pool or air conditioning. So there's a big advantage to living in the Altiplano, but like I said before, there's much less than 5% of Latin American landmass in that perpetual spring called the Altiplano. What I'm trying to say is most people who hear the term off the Gringo tourist trail think they have an idea of it, but they really don't. I hear gringos tell me they're off the tourist trail when there are really gringos all around them. If they had to, they could find one in 2 or 3 minutes, down at the shopping mall a couple miles away, at the gas station. You're not the only gringo in the neighborhood. Your subdivision has a couple of gringo families, at least. That said, here's my definition of being off the Gringo tourist trail. No matter how big or small your city is or how close you are to it, on any given day, you could walk for hours, even in the biggest shopping malls and shopping centers, and not see a single gringo. So my first question to people who say they're living off the Gringo tourist trail is, are you constantly speaking Spanish 24/7 because no one else will understand your English? Well, then you're definitely off the Gringo tourist trail. And I applaud you. All right, let's do some simple numbers here. Mexico's got a population of 127 million, right? And they've got 1.5 or so first world American gringos living there. That means, technically, one in every 85 people in Mexico is a gringo. Now, let's take the country immediately south of Mexico. That would be Guatemala, a country with 16 million people. According to the American State Department figures for 2015, they say there are 6,417 Americans living permanently in the country of Guatemala. Now, I don't believe that number because I meet a lot of gringo expats who are kind of off the grid. So let's say we increase that amount by 20% or more. 8,000 gringos living permanently in Guatemala. That means for every 2,000 people you meet, you run into one gringo. That makes 24 times as many gringos per capita living in Mexico than in Guatemala. So that brings a whole new meaning and brand new light to the phrase off the Gringo tourist trail, doesn't it? So in Mexico, you've got one out of every 85 persons a gringo, and in Guatemala, one in every 2,000 people. And you know what? According to the U.S. State Department, that Guatemala citizen to U.S. citizen ratio is about the same in Honduras, Salvador, Paraguay, Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, just to name a few lesser gringo-occupied Latin American countries. Now, since I'm an equal opportunity offender, and Dr. H mentioned Trump, let's talk about him for a second. Personally, I'd never vote for Trump. I'd never vote for any of them. They're all a bunch of thoroughly corrupt sociopaths. Trump, too. I mean, look at how he got his dough. By manipulating real estate deals in New York and getting government aid and sweetheart deals on the taxpayers' tab, too. Not to mention, anyone who votes is giving a thumbs up to a thoroughly corrupt system, so I can't do that. Anyway, regarding Trump, all Latin America is enamored with their own celebrities. And every single day you see in the Latin media, totally talentless celebrities like Pitbull, the Latin Flavor of the Month rapper. Down here, Latin rappers are called reggaetoneros because their music is reggaeton. A vastly inferior and much less creative version of North American rap, if that's possible. So every day in the Latin media, you see dozens of famous reggaetoneros. These are uneducated, gangbanger types, terrible role models, sexist, racist, woman-debasing guys. You see them every day in the media spewing their venomous views on Trump. And it's all the same. They're just as moronic and uncreative in their views about Trump as they are in their own music. But they are famous down here. And they hate Trump because of two things. He wants to build a solid immigration wall that's impenetrable, and he wants to deport people who are illegal. So when Trump says Mexico is sending their murderers, rapists, and criminals, it's all secondary to the fact that Latins want a U.S. open border so they could pass freely back and forth and immigrate there without any problems like they're doing now. The fact is, all you have to do is sit down with an average Latin family like I did just last week around Christmas time, and you'll hear them spew venom about Trump, too, because you see, a lot of their lifestyle and what they own comes from the monthly remises their illegal family members in the States send back, and they freely admit it. Too bad that conversation was in Spanish or I'd have recorded it for you. And what people don't know up in the States is that nearly every single one of these raperos that goes on national TV down here in Latin America and hits on Trump daily, at one time, these now famous guys were criminals in their own country, gangbangers. The ones that were caught, did the time, came out and became reggaetoneros. And get this, every single reggaetonero interviewed, except the ones from Puerto Rico, brag that they'd been in the U.S. illegally too. Any guess why they hate Trump so much?
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me, just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!